I'm joined today by Joshua Harris, best-selling author of I Kissed Dating Goodbye and Boy Meets Girl. Joshua, it's wonderful to talk to you today.
Good to be with you.
Now, Joshua, the title of your new book is certainly intriguing. Where does Dug Down Deep come from?
Well, it is a interesting title. The story behind it is that I set out to write a book that would talk about what it means to truly know God and to live a Christian life that's more than just religious tradition. I grew up in a very religious home, attended church, have heard a lot about God, and yet I'm wanting to really grapple with what is at the heart of having a relationship with God. Well, one day I was actually sitting on a beach, and I was reading in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, and there's a story where Jesus talks about two builders who are building their homes, and he says that the person that comes to him and who listens to his words and puts them into practice is like a man who dug down deep into the ground and built his house on the foundation of rock. And when the storms and the waves came into this person's life, his house stood strong. And that's a story that I've grown up hearing many different times. And there's another builder who builds his house on the ground, on the sand, and when the storms come, it's washed away. And I realized that was really a picture of what I was trying to write about in this book, the idea that to have a solid foundation, a real, genuine, authentic faith requires coming to Jesus. It requires hearing his words, his truth, and then putting that into practice. And so Dug Down Deep is really a picture of living your life built on solid truth. It's understanding theology, who God is, what he's revealed about himself. And I hope it will inspire people to want to build their life on something that won't be shaken.
And would you say your younger readers, probably in their 20s and 30s, they're particularly in the dark about the historic tenets of the faith? And if so, why?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I know that in my own experience, my Christian faith really was more about family tradition. It was about living a moral life, and I didn't always have a clear understanding of God's character. I had a lot of Christian cliches and a lot of phrases and a lot of ideas that I could easily draw from, but it wasn't always based on understanding. And I think a lot of Christians in this generation, in that age group that you talk about, the 20s and 30s, are in a similar place in that they want a reality and a depth to their relationship with God, but they're not quite sure where to find that. They want this authentic spirituality. They want a feeling of having an intimate, real relationship with God, but they don't know what to base that on. And so it's easy just to base it on emotion or sort of running after some new concept or new idea. So I think many of us have not been asked to engage our minds and really dig into our faith and take the time to work hard and understand what God has revealed about himself in his word. And I think that part of the reason is that many of us have grown up in church traditions that have been more concerned with entertaining us, keeping us happy, getting us to come back to a meeting, and not wanting to get into real Christian doctrine and teaching. And I think it's backfired. I think there are a lot of Christians out there who want more. They want depth. They feel like their faith is superficial. And so I hope that this book will make theology accessible to them. I really wrote this book for the person who wouldn't normally pick up a book of theology. And so it's very, very story-driven, very narrative-driven. And I'm talking about the questions that I've asked and the things that I've grappled with, because I want to make it easy for people to see how truth can really function in their life.
And I'm sure that you have seen that many in that 20 and 30 demographic they're ready to move on from the me-centered, feel-better faith to something more enduring. And your opinion, though, what does Orthodox theology have to offer them? What are they in store for if they really want to dig down deep?
Right. Well, Orthodoxy is really just a word that talks about the established, proven essential truths of the Christian faith. And the reason that those are so important and what that offers is really the a genuine, clear vision of who God is, an understanding of his goodness, his mercy in sending his son Jesus to rescue us from our sins, to die on the cross in our place. And I think there is a real craving for that. I think there's a real hunger for solid food, in a sense. And, you know, you look across the spectrum of Christianity today, and there are movements like the Passion Movement, where tens of thousands of college students are coming, and they're hearing a teacher like John Piper, who is a guy who doesn't dumb anything down. He's teaching solid Christian doctrine. He's teaching theology. It's many times, it's complex, it's weighty, and yet these students are eating it up. Their souls are really being fed by it. And so I talk about my own journey of encountering guys like John Piper, beginning to read Christian theology from centuries ago. Not necessarily names that are going to be showing up on the bestsellers list, and yet these are men and women who genuinely knew God, who grappled with his word. And I think that the fact that there's so many students that are downloading those kinds of sermons, that are searching out those kinds of books, is an example of the fact that there's a real desire for it.
You know, there's a perception that every time a preacher gets up to talk about how important sound doctrine is, they come off as angry, narrow-minded, even self-righteous and arrogant. But why do you think that is? And how is your tone and approach probably different in Dug Down Deep?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think words like doctrine and orthodoxy have gotten something of a bad reputation, and I think part of that is because they're often only brought up in times where someone is telling somebody else that they're wrong about something. And so I think that what I'm trying to do in this book is to say, look, these truths are not about having a fight with some other Christian. It's not about arguing. It's about having a real relationship with God. You can't love what you don't know. And really knowing God requires studying the specifics of what the Bible teaches about himself and about his work. And that's all that doctrine is. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches on any number of different subjects. And so what I try to do is practice what I call humble orthodoxy. You know, it's important that we have a strong commitment to the orthodox teachings of the Christian faith. And yet, what you're saying is absolutely right. There are many people whose attitude is angry, is bitter, is self-righteous. And the point that I make is the solution to that is not to run from orthodoxy, not to run from doctrine, but in fact to embrace the truth of Christian orthodoxy. And at the heart of Christian orthodoxy is this message that God is so merciful that he sent his son to die for his enemies, for people who hated him, who rejected him. And that is the most humbling message you can possibly think of. I mean, at the heart of the Christian faith is this message that you cannot earn God's acceptance. You're not only better than anyone else, you don't even deserve the kindness that God has shown you. And so if you really embrace that orthodoxy, it's going to make you a person that is gracious towards other people, that's gentle towards people who disagree with you. And I seek to practice that sort of humble orthodoxy in the book and really show people the beauty of God's truth.
Joshua, is there one doctrine that, as you are writing about it, seems especially meaningful to you at this particular time in your life?
Well, you know, there's a chapter in the book on the atonement, the doctrine of the atonement, basically asking the question, why did Jesus have to die? What was the point of that? And what's the meaning of him suffering on the cross, which is obviously at the center of the Christian faith, and yet there's so much confusion about it. And it's a very personal chapter for me because I share the story of a dream that I had, and I actually shared this dream in Ica Standing Goodbye. It's called The Room, and it's something that spread to many different people over the internet and really reached far and wide in many ways. But it's the story of this dream is me waking up in a room that has all these filing cabinets that contain a record of everything I've ever done in my life, you know, good and bad, those moments that you don't want anybody else to know about, and all of that written down. And when I had this dream, there was just such an overwhelming sense of guilt and of shame and this realization that I couldn't erase my past, I couldn't do anything with that. And I used that dream and the story of Jesus coming into that room and covering my name on each of those cards to really unpack what the scripture teaches about what Jesus did on the cross, that he literally took our place, took the punishment that we deserve so that we can be forgiven. And to be honest with you, that's a truth that I need every day of my life. That's a truth that I need to be reminded of in times when I'm discouraged, in times when I'm aware of my failure as a husband, as a father, just as a Christian. I fall short so many times, and yet the wonderful news of the atonement is that someone else has earned my acceptance for me. Someone else has obeyed for me. Someone else has suffered for me. And I think that specific doctrine is so life-giving, because there are so many people today who are carrying around this incredible sense of guilt, and if they don't feel it on an ongoing basis, it's probably because they're medicating themselves out of it, or they're drinking themselves out of it, or they're just distracting themselves out of it. And the only real way to deal with that, I believe, is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I try to show not only the facts of these doctrines, but how it affects our hearts and how it affects the way that we live.
We hear it said that belief precedes behavior. And just taking one of the doctrines that you explore, what changes in behavior could a new understanding of the truth lead to for a motivated reader of Dug Down Deep?
Well, you know, I don't think we realize how much our belief shapes the way we live. But I try to make the point in this book that all of us are theologians. In other words, we all have some idea about God. We all have some concept of what he's like. Even if we're an atheist and we say we don't believe he exists, we have a concept of God. And the question is not whether or not we have a theology or an idea about God. The question is whether or not it's true. And that belief really is going to shape the choices we make. I mean, if you don't think that there's ever going to be any consequence for the decisions that you make beyond this life, that's going to radically affect the choices you make. You know, if nobody catches you, if nobody sees you, you can get away with a lot. And yet, if you study the doctrine of God and you understand that he is eternal, that he is just and righteous, that he's promised to bring all humanity to account, that doctrine, that theology, is going to affect the way you treat other people. Whether or not you're ever caught for it in this life, whether or not you ever have to pay a price in this world, it's going to change the way you think. Another example of that is the chapter in the book on the doctrine of Scripture, and it's called Ripping, Burning, Eating. And I tell the story of different men in Scripture and the way in which they approached the Bible, the way they thought about the Bible. And that's one example of how a doctrine is so significant in daily life. You know, if you understand what the Bible teaches, what Jesus has said about the Bible, that it is God's perfect word, that it's without error, that it's trustworthy, that it's actually God speaking to man, well, that's going to really transform the way you approach that book. I mean, there's going to be a reverence when you read it. You're going to take it seriously. You're not just going to pick and choose what you like. I mean, a lot of people approach the Bible as sort of like a compilation of fortune cookie sayings or something. You know, they can just kind of take what they want. And yet, when you understand what the Bible says about itself, you recognize that it has something to say to us, that it's the story of how God has worked in the world, that it wants to direct our thinking and our living. And that practical truth is really the basis for being able to relate to, hear God, hear him speak to you, obey God, and interact with him. So that's one example of how doctrine is not just for head knowledge. It's not just something that you keep on a shelf in a book. It really is for living. And the most important knowledge that we can possibly have as human beings is a knowledge of our Creator, knowledge of the one who made us. And so my hope is that this book, even though it's a very simple book, it's a book that is in many ways an introduction to Christian theology, I hope it will inspire people to want to know more of God, to love Him more, and to build their life on the rock of Jesus Christ and His truth.
Dug Down Deep is the next title by Joshua Harris. Thanks so much for being with me today.